This week is Parshas Mishpatim, and the Mishpatim are presented, Chazal notes, in different ways. The presentation of Mishpatim here as the middle of Matan Torah, surrounded by Matan Torah. Matan Torah surrounded by Mishpatim, very strong relationship between these Mishpatim, which simply put are the rules that govern interpersonal responsibility and relationship. Parshas Yisro starts with the bringing of Mishpat to the Jewish people. Then we have the giving of the Torah. Then we have Parshas Mishpatim. And then at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, again we tell the story of the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. What I would like to focus on tonight, however, is a particular mitzvah of Mishpat, a particular Mishpat that headlines the Parsha, that introduces the whole Parsha, is given this position, and that's the Parsha of Eved Ivri. Ve'ela amosh bishpatim asher tosim lifneim ki sikne Eved Ivri. When you buy for yourself an Eved Ivri, a Hebrew slave, she'shonim te'avet, 6 years he shall work, uvashviis, ve'tzelach of shichinam. In the seventh year he goes free, outright. He goes on to give certain halachos about whether he can or cannot have some kind of a conjugal relationship with a shifcha, with a maidservant, if he's married previously or not. And if the servant will say, I like my situation, I like my master, I like my wife, I like my children that I have in the context of the slavery, I don't want to go free. The master will bring him forth to the Bezdin. They will have him approach the door, the doorpost, and his ear is pierced. His ear is pierced with the tool, and he will serve him forever. So the Parsha of Eved Ivri, this discussion, has a b'di'eved, has a negative quality to it. An eved ideally wouldn't exist. There wouldn't be a real parsha of eved, and the parsha of eved has to be mitigated, has to be reduced because of the fundamental objections to avdus, to slavery. And here we're talking specifically of the eved ivri, of the Jewish slave, enslaved to another Jew. We get a hint of it here in Rashi, where Rashi brings what Chazal say. Why is it? Amar Rav Yechon ben Zakkai, Maro Eizen li Riotza Mikol Shari Vorem Shebeguf. Why does the ear get pierced from all the parts of the body? Amar Rav Yechon ben Zakkai, Eizen Sheshom Al Har Sinai. Excuse me. The ear that heard at Har Sinai Le Signai, you shouldn't steal. And it stole. That's why he's being sold into slavery, to pay back for what he stole. Tiratza, it should be bored. V'maycher atzma, and if he sold himself, oizen shesham al Har Sinai, the ear that heard at Har Sinai, ki livinei Yisrael avodim, for the Jewish people are slaves to me. V'holach v'kona adam atzma, and he went and he purchased a master for himself. Tiratza, that ear should be pierced. If he stole, we understand. But even if he didn't do anything wrong, so to speak, in leading to some kind of a crime that forces him to be sold. However, the sale itself, Meicher Atzmai, he sold himself into slavery. That's a violation of what he heard at Har Sinai, Ki Livinei Yisrael Avadim. For me, the Jewish people are to be considered Avadim, not Avadim to anybody else, not Avadim to another person. Rashi goes on and brings that Rabbi Shimon, Hayodoresh Mikrazek Min Chomer, Rav Shimon interpreted this pasuk even further, and he said, Manishtana Delasu Mezuzah Mikol Kelim Shebabayis. Why does he get pierced in that spot in the house? And the pasuk, and he explains, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Delasu Mezuzah Sheyu Eidim Mitzrayim. The doorposts were, of course, central to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the Jewish people being redeemed, to Makas Bechoros, and to the salvation of the Jewish people when everyone else, when the Egyptians were destroyed. That was the moment that Hashem made the Jewish people into His Avodim. That was the moment when we became the servants of Hashem. And this person goes and accepts upon himself another master, Yirata, that ear should be pierced. I would like to focus here on this chazal, which would seem to be the Pesach, the opening, the delos, the entryway, the door that we have to go through in order to understand the positioning of this as the beginning of Mishpatim. We last week were talking about Matan Torah. Again, in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we speak about Matan Torah. And the title of Mishpatim, the title chapter of Mishpatim, is about something which is intrinsically connected to Matan Torah. We speak about the Eved, who is in a situation that to some degree violates Matan Torah. The Eved, who should have not been sold as a slave, because he should have been conscious both about what Yetzias Mitzrayim told him, when the doorposts were used to save the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, the blood on the doorposts then that freed us, as opposed to now, where they're piercing his ear and there's going to be his blood on the doorpost, enslaving him, locking him in to an avdus, to a slavery to another person. And the ear itself that heard at Har Sinai, "Ki livnei Yisrael avadim," the Jewish people are to be my slaves. It's an interesting thing because, you know, that phrase, "Ki livnei Yisrael avadim," did not appear in last week's parsha. It appears actually in a parsha which is spoken about as a parsha Har Sinai. What's the parsha? You guessed it, Parshas Bahar Sinai. Hashem spoke to Moshe Bahar Sinai. Right? That's a parsha which is way at the end of Sefer Vayikra. And in that parsha, we have the Torah teaching us again about Avodim, about slavery, Jewish slavery, and the limits on that slavery. And there the Pasuk says about how we're supposed to treat a fellow Jew who has to sell himself as a slave. We shouldn't make him work in the manner of slaves. You should treat him rather as an employee until the Yovel comes, when he leaves and he goes back to his family. And the verse explains, because they are my servants, Asher Etzesi Yisro Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that I took them out of Egypt. They shouldn't be sold in the conventional way that slaves are sold. You should not enslave him with forech, with back-breaking work. That's what we usually translate it. Have fear of God. The Jewish people at Har Sinai, whether in the parsha which initiates Har Sinai, or the parsha which concludes, really, in a certain sense, the giving of the Torah, the bris of the Jewish people, Parshas Bahar Sinai, we invoke this idea of the avdus, of the servitude which is to Hashem, instead of a servitude to other people. Exclusive of the servitude to Para, and exclusive as well of the servitude of one Jew to another Jew. Ki avodai hein. If one wants to look for it at Har Sinai, one only has to look at the first commandment. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, mibeis avodim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out from the land of Egypt, mibeis avodim, from the house of slaves. Rashi says, kedai hu hayetzia. Rashi, in last week's parsha, in the Aseres Hadibros, Rashi expresses it in exactly this way, and he says, kedai hu hayetzia. It is enough. The Haitzah, the fact that I took you out of Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, was worthy enough, was strong enough, Shetiu Meshubadim li, that you should be now my servants. The declaration where Hashem said, I am your God, was not just, of course, a declaration about who Hashem is in heaven, but about His relationship with us. I am Hashem Elokecha, your Lord, who took you out from Mitzrayim, from the house of slavery. What did we become as a result of that? We became Kiavodahim. We became bound to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That turned into this. You know, the Gemara says that we say as the first, the opening phrase of Hallel, when we thank Hashem for taking us out of the Golos, taking us out of Mitzrayim, we say, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Give praise, you who are the servants of Hashem. And the Gemara says, the implication, now we are servants of Hashem, we're no longer servants of Paro. Avdei Hashem v'lo Avdei Paro. We're not the servants of Paro. The Kabbalah HaTorah, the acceptance of Torah, the acceptance of Torah, the way we experienced it, and Har Sinai, following on the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was to transform us into those who are Avdei Hashem, those who are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's something for us to think about, to understand. And what I'm trying to show you here again, as we start this Parsha which is fresh on the heels of the giving of the Torah, of the receiving of the Torah, the title Mishpat, the original law that positions us, that's found again here and found again at the closing of the bris, the closing of the covenant in Parshas Bahar Sinai, before Bechukosai, is this declaration that through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we were slaves to Paro, we became instead Avdei Hashem, servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which therefore, again, mitigates and limits how we're able to be an Eved to anybody else. How we could be an Eved Ivri, an Eved to another person. It can't be for long. It's for 6 years. If we want it to be for longer, we are violating Kabbalah HaTorah. We have to have our ear pierced. The doorway has to have fresh blood upon the doorway because we're basically denying our history. We're denying Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're denying the Kabbalah HaTorah. To be servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as opposed to servants of somebody else. That's the definition, the working definition which we have here. I'm not going to go into further discussion of how this spills over to the other Mishpatim, other than to just say very, very quickly a thought which we've discussed in the past, but just so you can understand what I mean when we speak about this, about the title din, the title mishpat of this chapter, of this parsha, is the Eved. Whenever we speak about interpersonal laws and the fact that when one person harms somebody else, that they have to compensate that person or there are consequences for that harm, that's all just, again, another form of avdus. No person rules over anybody else. If I take something from you, the fact that I don't rule over you says that I have to give it back to you. I have to compensate you for it. The whole premise of Mishpat Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, of law between people, is the parallel nature that's supposed to exist amongst us as people. That we don't take advantage one of the other. So while it's not avdus, it's not slavery in the classic sense, but nevertheless, it would be a form of mastery, of bondage. It's a pasuk, a verse in the Proverbs which says, "Eved lo veli ishmalve," a person who lends money to someone else, the borrower is like a slave to the one who lent it to him. Any lack of parallelism which will exist in a financial relationship create something of avdus, some kind of a bond. It's a different example than damages. That's why avdus is really the prototype, the model that one person doesn't rule over another. But this is not simply a kind of democratic ideal that all people, in a certain sense, all people are created equal. The Torah explains the fact that one person doesn't rule over another as not being as much a product of the equality of people, but rather based on the fact that God has the sole claim of mastery over people. And because God has the sole claim of mastery over people, no person should be intruding on that. Intruding on that by introducing their own mastery. I've shared with some of you before a fascinating insight from the Meshech Chachma, from Rav Meir Simcha. It's found in Parshas Bahaloscha, where he points out that there are only a few personalities in Tanakh who are referred to as Eved Hashem, the servants of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to as Eved Hashem. Yeshua is not called Eved Hashem. For example, Yeshua, the great student, the disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, his successor as a leader of the Jewish people, he's not called Eved Hashem. And the Meshech Chachma says that the common denominator of all those who are called Eved Hashem is that they never refer to anybody else as their master. To be truly the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu precludes serving anybody else. And Yehoshua, when he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Adoni Moshe Kilo'ein. So he couldn't be called an Eved Hashem because he perceived Moshe Rabbeinu to some degree as his master. And it's not built on a simple notion that all people are equal. I'm not saying that that's not a true concept or whatever. I'm not going there. It's just not the reason that the Torah says why one person can't be a master over another when it comes to the Jewish people. The reason the Torah says is because shtori kodem, in the language of Chazal, I had first dibs. I have the contract first. I took them out of Mitzrayim. So therefore their allegiance is to me. I want to share with you something which the Ramban writes in our parasha to broaden this picture a little bit before we try to deepen it a little bit more. At the beginning of this parasha, where it introduces Eved, the Ramban himself, of course, is noting the idea that it starts with this mitzvah. That it starts with Eved Ivri, of all Mishpatim. I'm referring to the Ramban's comments on the second verse in the parsha, not the first, where he has other important introductory remarks relating Mishpatim to Mamad Har Sinai. But listen to what he says specifically about Kisikne Eved Ivri. Hizchila Mishpat HaRishayn BeEved Ivri. The first law that's given here is about the Hebrew slave. Neshiyesh b'shiluach ha'eved b'shana ha'shvi zecher li'tzias Mitzrayim ha'nizkar b'tibur ha'rishon. Because in the mitzvah to send an eved free at the end, at the seventh year, it reminds us of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the first commandment of the Torah. The Ramban basically has noted earlier in the first pasuk of last week's parsha, of this week's parsha, that there's a parallelism between the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, and the opening instructions in Parshas Mishpatim. And he says, Eved Ivri is to some degree parallel to the first commandment. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. And it is for that reason that the Eved goes out free in the seventh year. Kimo shenemar bo v'zochartu ki o'eved ha'yisa b'eretz Mitzrayim, v'yiftecho Hashem aleikecho, you shall recall that you were an Eved in the land of Mitzrayim, and Hashem took you out from there, and that's why I'm instructing you on this matter today. Now, what's that a reference to? Again, that's not the first commandment. It's not the repetition of the first commandment. Again, it's the dinim of an Eved Ivri, the laws of an Eved Ivri from Sefer Dvorim, Parshas Re'eh, when it speaks about sending them free on the seventh year, and you will remember that you were a servant in Mitzrayim, and Hashem redeemed you from there, and therefore you shall let your servants free when the seventh year comes. The idea that we're never able to be a complete slave to somebody else because we're servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, resulting of the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim. So says the Ramban, the first thing that this parsha of Eved Ivri and its limitations remind us of is the fact that we were slaves in Mitzrayim and Hashem freed us from there to be his avadim, to be his servants, and therefore nobody else's.
Then listen to how he continues. V'yesh ba'od zecher l'masa bereishis. Not only does it remind us of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know, had nothing to do with the seventh day. Nothing inherently to do with the seventh day. We weren't in Mitzrayim for 6 days or for 6 years, or we were in Mitzrayim for 210 years or for 400 years, however you're going to count. So what's the Yitzias Mitzrayim doesn't have the magic number seven. Yitzias Mitzrayim has the liberation. But it also has a remembrance of Masa Bereishis, of creation. Ki Hashana Hashvi is le'eved shabosayim mimlechas adoinav ki em Hashvi. When the Eved goes free on the seventh year, it's like the person not working on the seventh day. That's the parallel, the distinct parallel. And this points to so many places where we find this. The Shemitah here is another form of Shabbos. And it's all connected to the same thing of the Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. You'll recall, of course, that in Parshas Barasinai it starts off with discussions about the Shemitah and the Yovel, and goes on to speak about Avdus, slavery. V'lochein ha-mitzvah hazois ru'uya l'haktim oso shinichbedes ma'od. And so concludes the Ramban, this mitzvah deserves to be at the beginning of the Mishpatim, because it has these very important themes. Romezes dvorim gedolim b'masa bereishis. It has significant hints to creation and to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says that's why in Yirmiyahu he speaks so strongly about the covenant he made with our forefathers, that at the end, at 7 years, we have to send free our Eved, our servants, our maidservants. The Gozar Bavuro HaGolus, Kasher Tikser HaGolus, Al Shmita Sa'oretz, and it decrees Golus on the Jewish people for failing to fulfill this. So this Ramban, as well, draws a very clear line between the Avodim, the treatment of Avodim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim. But also at the same time, he draws that connection to Masa Bereishis, to creation, and to the original Shabbos. So we know Avdus, this slavery to a servitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is significant to stand in the way of anything else, and it's both pieces, the piece of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim and remembering creation itself and the original Shabbos of creation. And it's something which we want us to think about, to consider. What is it? What's a greater understanding, a stronger, a deeper understanding of this Avdus, of what it means and what its implications are? The Eved has his ear pierced. V'rotza Adonav es oznoi b'marzeh. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote a Sefer Shari Tshuva, which we often, many people study it in the period of Elul, in the 10 days of Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah has an elaborate description of the many components. He draws out 20 components of tshuva, very, very significant in his first section. But the Sefer goes on, and in the second section he speaks about the different things which bring a person to tshuva, bring a person to improvement. And the Derech HaShlishi, the third way which he lists, is Kasher Yishma Musar HaChachonim VaMechichim. When he hears the teachings, the Musar of the sages, of those who offer correction and rebuke, Yakshiv, the Yishma, the Yikona, the Yachzer B'Tshuva, he will listen, he will hear, he will be humbled, and he will repent. The Kabal B'Liboy Kol Divrei HaTeichachos, and he will accept upon himself in his heart all that was said, and that he will do everything that he was told. Listening with an open ear and a receptive ear. Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to write that in our book, that listening which leads to a Kabbalah, an acceptance, an undertaking, a readiness to do, that's as good as done. When a person has shifted into that mode of openness, to be ready to listen, to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say, he's already there.
What does he bring it from? What does he prove it from? So I'm going to approach Rabbeinu Yonah a little bit out of the order in which he presented it. In paragraph Yud Beis, in the second section of the Shari Tshuva, he brings a verse in Mishlei in Proverbs where it says, Mo'er einayim yismach lev, shmua tova tadash en etzen, something which brightens the eyes, brings joy to the heart. Shmua type of good tidings, hearing something good, makes the bone strong. Ozen shomas tochachas chayim, an ear that hears, a life-providing rebuke, v'kerev chachamim tolim, that is going to rest amongst us, the wise. An ear that hears, the tochachas chayim, the good rebuke of life, is in the hearts of a person. And Rabbeinu Yonah goes on, and he says, the eye is a wonderful, wonderful organ. It's a wonderful tool of a person. But the eyes and the ear is far greater. Ki yishmu bai shmua taiva, you hear with the ear good tidings. And furthermore, says the Gemara, ki ha'ayzen nichbad misharvam shim sima es einai naisen leidmei einai. If a person blinds someone, they have to pay them for the damage to the eye. Charshay, if he made him unable to hear it, nice and light mekulay, he has to pay him the entire value of the person. Without the ability to hear, robbing the person, if a person harms someone, takes away their ability to hear, it's as if they've taken away from them everything. And writes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says, the greatest... The reason is because ha'enish ha'gadol yaser ma'idim yafriya mimasa mitzvaysa v'avoyda le'yavei b'hem v'loy kigmu aleim heshev. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave such special position to the ear because the ear is the one which is open to being able to receive the wisdom which is shared by others, and through that, that provides the person with every opening to life. Hatu aznechem ulchu elai, shimu utechina shechem. Incline your ears and come to me, listen, and your soul will live. The ear is really the opening to the entirety of the person. Let's speak about it and think of it in a very simple way. We know when we speak about that which distinguishes a human being amongst all other creatures, so we speak about different things, different faculties. Sometimes we speak about the quality of free choice, of intelligence. But one chush, one sense, which was considered most important, was dibur, the power of speech. Power of speech. A human being is described as above the animals by virtue of the koach hadibur, the power of speech. The power of speech gives us the opportunity to express and share wisdom, intelligent thoughts. Every being communicates on some level, but human beings communicate on a far more profound level. But there's a chush, there's a sense which goes together with the power of speech, which in a certain sense is the greater tool of a human being for greatness. And that is hearing, which gives us the ability to gather from the speech of others. Speech is something which allows the existence of community, allows people to be able to communicate, which creates chibur, which creates community, which creates the power of people who do something together. When we're able to hear the wisdom of others and be able to thus absorb the wisdom of others, that is the ultimate
the ultimate, in a certain sense, of our own realization of our koach, of our power of speech. The pasuk says, "Az nirbru yirei Hashem ish el re'eu." Two God-fearing people, the Mishnah says, it's even two people who sit together, and words of Torah are being transferred between them. V'yesh beinem divrei Torah. One is hearing what the other has to say. Az nidberu yirei Hashem ish el re'eu. Then they were spoken to, the God-fearing, one man to his friend. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma. Hashem listens and he hears and he records it in the Sefer Zikaray Lefanav, in the Book of Commemoration. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes on the Mishnah in the third chapter of Pirkei Avos, which cites this verse. He says the verse doesn't say, Oz dibru yirei Hashem ishel re'eu, then they spoke to each other. It says, Oz nidbru yirei Hashem ishel re'eu. Nidbru means that they were spoken to. Each one benefited from hearing from the other. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears and he records. Not the person speaking, but the person's receptivity to that which the other has to say. The ear is literally collate. It absorbs. It's, you know, the Gemara uses the language, sim oznecha ka'afar cheses, make your ear like a funnel, right, that draws in the words, the ideas, the concepts of wisdom, and we bring them into ourselves. It's the twin koach, the twin faculty to the power of speech, and it allows us to benefit from the wisdom which is there, which is of others. And that's why in the greatest sense it's considered the totality of the person. It's the greatest opening for the person's productivity and service of Hashem to chayim, to life, is ozen shomas tochachas musar, to be able to listen, to be able to hear. And in the greatest sense, it's the key to avdus, it's the key to commission, to the commitment of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Yonah starts this discussion, I told you I do it out of order, with a very interesting illustration of this, when you think about it, speaking about the power of hearing. Nasa v'nishma. Ironically, his focus is not as much on the nishma as on the nasa. He says that the Mishnah speaks again in Pirkei Avos about a person who ma'asav merubin mechachmasa, a person whose actions are greater than his wisdom. And he brings how Chazal and the Avos to Rabbi Nosson, they ask, how could a person's actions be greater than their wisdom? You can't do what you don't know what to do. And the Avos to Rabbi Nosson explains, no, it's like the Jewish people at our Sinai, where we said, Nase v'nishma. When we said Nase, when we committed and we said, we're ready to do it, we're open to what you are instructing us, to what you suggest. We haven't heard it yet, but we open ourselves up to it altogether. We're giving ourselves over to you to be able to hear it. At that point, it was as if we did it. Once we said Nase v'nishma, ki o'ish asher kibel al nafsho b'leiv nemon, writes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he writes this in more than one place, a person who accepts upon himself with a faithful, honest heart, lishmar v'lasos, al pi ha-Torah asher yoruhu v'al ha-mishpat asher yomlo ha-yoshvim al ha-mishpat. I'm going to do whatever they tell me I'm supposed to do. Whatever I'm told reliably via the Torah that I'm supposed to do, whatever it is, I will do it. Yesh b'yodo min ha-yom hazeh schar al kol ha-mitzvahs. He has from that day, from that moment, reward for everything. As if he did it already. Al asher shama ozlei midivrei ha-Torah ve'heven lahem. That his ear has heard from the words of the Torah and understood them. And even those things which he hasn't yet heard. the openness, the readiness to whatever it is that I'm willing to hear. The ozen kashevis, the ear that is positioned, ready, standing, to hear, tell me, and I will do, nasa v'nishma. That is already positioning the person as a person of action, as a person who has done. They've given themselves over to it. What's most remarkable is that this was something which was achieved by the Jewish people even before we said Nasa V'Nishma. This idea that the readiness of commitment, giving ourselves over, saying we're ready to do it, that it counts as if we did it, was actually present in the very first mitzvah of the Jewish people. Listen to what happens in the parsha of Achodesh Hazeh Lochem, the parsha which Hashem gave the first mitzvah, appearing to Moshe Rabbeinu, giving us the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, when we were to leave Mitzrayim, when we were supposed to put the blood on the doorposts and become the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to what it says. Moshe Rabbeinu is told to tell the Jewish people, it's Rosh Chodesh of the first month of Chodesh Hashanah, and tell the Jewish people that on the 10th of this month, they should go and they should buy a Korban Pesach, or get for themselves a Korban Pesach. And then on the 14th of this month, after watching it for a few days, they should offer it as a korban. And they should place the blood on the doorposts and so on and so forth. Continues the pasuk. Hashem tells them the whole thing and about how he's going to smite the firstborn and everything else, and gives them the mitzvah. And the pasuk ends. Moshe Rabbeinu calls the Jewish people. He gives them the mitzvah. And it says, Vayilchu Vayasu b'nei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe v'Aaron kenasu. And they went and they did. The Jewish people went and did as Hashem instructed Moshe and Aaron. So they did. Asks Rashi, in the name of the Mechilta, v'chi kfar asu, they went and they did. V'aloi me Rosh Chodesh nemar lahem. This was said to them on Rosh Chodesh. And they didn't even have a mitzvah to do anything until the 10th of the month. Ela mikivan shekiblu aleim mal aleim akosav kilu asu. From the moment that we accepted upon ourselves, it was as if we did it. When did the Jewish people accept the Torah? When did we perform the first mitzvah? When we undertook to do it. Vayelchu vayasu, it was as if we accepted it upon ourselves when we said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're committed to doing it. Action is very important. Nasa v'nishma. But here, in a certain sense, Rabbeinu Yonah is turning it inside out. And he's saying the Nasa of Nasa v'nishma was actually not the action. It couldn't be the action, because you can't do something that you haven't yet been told. Nishma v'nasa is a logical progression. Right? So everybody has heard, and we understand different ideas about nasa kodem l'nishma, what an act of faith it was. But what Rabbeinu Yonah teaches us here, and what this verse of the original movement of the Jewish people to do the first avoda, the avoda, the Korban Pesach, is called avoda, moha avoda zos lochem. The first act of being servants of Hashem was not on the 14th of Nisan when we brought the Korban Pesach, not on the 10th of Nisan when we bought the Korban Pesach or set it aside, but on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when we listened to Hashem instructing us about the Korban Pesach, and we were ready to do it. And as we said Nasa v'Nishma at the end of last week's parsha, and we pledged an openness and a readiness, we'll do whatever you say. That's the ultimate commitment of avdus, of servants, of being a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, And it's the ultimate expression of openness which we invest here in the ozen, in the ear that heard at Har Sinai. In the ear that heard at Har Sinai, Kili v'nei Yisrael avodim. It was to be open, to be able to hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without the distortion, the distraction of other things that would be calling upon us and saying to us, lend me your ears. I want, there are things that I have to tell you. There are things that I have to ask of you. The Parsha of Avodim, Ramban Taras, is both a revelation or a commemoration of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the fact that we bound ourselves to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we left from being the slaves of Paro to being the servants of Hashem, and of Shabbos Bereshis, the 6 days that we work, and the seventh day that we don't, that we're free. Shabbos itself is also this notion of the confusing callings of a whole week. During the week, a person is summoned in all the 6 different directions, the 6 days, all of the different things that exist within the material world that we occupy. They all draw, they all have a pull, and ask of us things that take us away from being able to focus on that which is ours, that which we are ideally supposed to be doing, on the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shana HaShviyas, the 7th year of the Eved, where he goes free, is reminiscent of the 7th day of Shabbos, where all of the calls, the other things that call us, the other things that summon our attention, are also moved away. And instead, all we have on Shabbos, the entirety of it, is the call for that which is holy. Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh. That's the experience within the world generally. Slavery, to be called upon by other people, is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Paro made demands on us. That's what we call Oil Malchus, the yoke of kingdom, the yoke of other people, Abdus, servitude to others. But there's something else which calls upon us too. And that's the call of nature. The 6 days of the week, where we have to do things just to build our world in order to be able to function. Even a human being who's there in the world by himself, Adam HaRishon had Shabbos. He wouldn't be a servant to anybody else. But he did have to worry, love the Lashama, to work and to preserve in order to be able to manage, in order to be able to make it. Now, I often like to repeat very foundational, very yesodistic idea that Maharal notes and teaches, based again yet again on the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says that Mishnah speaks of 3 yokes, all Torah, the yoke of doing what the Torah, what Hashem wants of us, all Derech Eretz, the yoke of nature, doing what we have to do just to survive in a natural world, even if we're alone on a desert island. There are things that we have to take care of. We have to take care of our food, our shelter, our rest, our health. And then there's Ol Malchus, the yoke of government, the yoke of responsibility of others. Yitzias Mitzrayim was freedom from being subject to other people. Shabbos, it's freedom from being subject to the yoke, the responsibility of nature. We take care. Sheishes yamim tavoid. Vasisa kol machtecha. 6 days you slave away. You do all that you have to do to take care of your physical needs. On the 7th day, there's no call upon you. There's no demand upon you, distractive demand of taking care of your physical needs. That's done already. The true freedom of Avodayim, the true freedom which is supposed to be expressed by the Eved Ivri, is that this is what he's open to. These other things are gone. They're not going to stand in the way. Those demands will not confuse him, will not distract him, will not distract us, pull us away from that it is that we ultimately wish, want to do. And that's accomplished in a great sense through the kli, through the tool of the oizen, of the ear. The oizen shomea tochachos chayim. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote in the very beginning of the Shari Tshuva, he said that the person to be defined as given over to their master, an eved who says, a servant who says to his master, you know, I'll do everything you ask of me except this. I have my red line. I have this one thing that I'm not going to do. He says that person is not an eved. They're not a servant. The person, it's as if they've broken the yoke of their master from upon them. Because if I've given myself over to you, then I've given myself over to you entirely. Whatever happens, you know how Chazal portray the difference between the way the Jewish people accepted the Torah and the way the nations of the world responded when offered the Torah. They said, well, what does it say in the Torah? Tell us what it says. And Hashem told them one thing that they couldn't accept. Each nation had one thing which was their red line. And that stood in the way of them being able to be avodim, to be able to be the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kabbalah HaTorah, acceptance of the Torah is that. It's not simply the enrichment of Torah. It's not the life of Torah. It's not the commitment of Torah. It's giving ourselves over completely. Completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be open, to listen, nidbaru, the power to be impacted by speech. Mabat Har Sinai, when we stood at Har Sinai, Hashem gave us the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Statements, the Ten Instructions. What made them meaningful was that there was a Makabel, that there was someone who heard it, that we were there to receive it. The Ozen Shoshana Har Sinai. The words of wisdom that are there in the world, to be open to listen to them, to be absorbed, to absorb them, to accept them, to make our ears, ka'afar cheses, like a funnel, to open to receive. That's what transforms. That's what gives chayim. That's what gives life. That's what gives life. Was nidbru yirei Hashem yishareyu v'yachshev Hashem v'yishma. In our understanding, what we see in Torah, what we see in the language of Chazal, is that the greatest posture of a human being relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one which is completely and totally able to accept and to receive. Moshe Rabbeinu had the Torah the greatest of anybody because he was the Anav Ma'od Mikol HaAdam Asher Al Pnei HaAdama. He was the humblest person on the face of the earth. He was opening to hearing, to receiving. Hillel, we ruled like Hillel, the Gemara says. He argued with Shammai. Hashem said, they both say the word of the living God, but we rule like Beis Hillel. Why? Because
They're humble. They listen. They hear what Shammai says. They quote what Shammai says before they say what they themselves have to say. To listen. The Gemara says Torah is compared to water. Why is it compared to water? Because water will find its lowest level. So too Torah goes to the humblest. What does that mean? It pulls at that which is the bottom point, that which is open to receiving anything which comes its way. Not something which is above receiving something. Eved, that openness to the Ribbono Shel Olam is what defines the relationship of the Jewish person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is that we completely and totally want to be able to receive from the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be able to hear His word, to be able to absorb His instruction, His command. That's the parsha of Eved. That's the parsha of Kabbalah HaTorah, of receiving the Torah of the Delos and the Mezuzos, the doorposts of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vayelchu vayasu bnei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. We're here for what you tell us. It's as good as done. We're committed to it completely. This is really, it would seem, the omek, the further understanding of what Chazal tell us when they say that this was really the secret of the Malachim. Nase v'nishma was the expression that the angels gave. The Gemara says that they're osei dvaro lishmoa b'kol dvaro. Because we know Malach, the term Malach, is a term which is used for angels, and it's a term which is used for messengers, those that are given a mission. A Malach is given a mission, and he's defined completely by that mission. He has no other thing directing him, no self-direction, no other thing pointing him in any other direction. So what's given to him, it's done. Vayelchu vayasu. What's given to them is as good as done, because they have no other thing which is calling them in any other direction. Our resistance to Avdus, to one person ruling over another, is because ultimately we want that the call that is the only one which is heard by us as human beings is the call of Ol Torah, is the call of that which is right, that which is to do the right thing, that which the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us. That would be, there's no barrier, there's nothing else which distracts, there's nothing else which calls upon. All we hear is the call of that which is right. Mekabel olav ol Torah, mavir mimenu ol malchus ve'ol derech eretz. I think that this idea, to sort through the different sounds which we hear, and I should note that it's the Maharal of Prague explains this in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Psachim that there are three sounds which go from one end of the world to the other, and one of them, each one is the call of nature, the call of the masses of Rome, and the call of the soul, the call of the neshama yotzeis min haguf. These are the things which are asking for our attention, always, constantly. The powers that be, the powers of other people, the call of nature for different things that we do. And the Avdus of Mitzrayim, which of course we live within these worlds. But the real sound of Cheirus, the real sound of freedom, is that when a person is first and foremost hearkening the call of trying to do the right thing. Trying to do the right thing. That's the Cheirus Olam. That's the ultimate freedom which were granted at Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is the beginning of the interpersonal laws.
It's the beginning of that which governs the relationships between people, because it is fundamental to that which connects us to our Kodesh Baruch. The call to always do that. Sorry,
you said there were three personalities
that David also never referred to anyone as his master, and I don't remember right now who the other one is. But all of them had in common this, that they never spoke of anyone else as their master. And that's the ultimate clarity of purpose, which is Kabbalah Satorah. And it makes it, again, for the clear path of Ayelchu Vayasu, even before we've done anything, it's as if we're there. The Gemara says, and with this we will close, the Gemara says that when it comes to the Jewish people, every machshava toiva, every good thought, every good intention, it's as if we did it. In that same verse that I quoted to you before, is seen as the source for it. As Nidbu Yirei Hashem Yisrael Vayakrev Hashem Vayishma VeYikosev Sefer Zikra Lefanav Yirei Hashem Ulechoshvei Shema. So those who even thought of his name, the person thought to do a mitzvah, even if something came up in the way and didn't, stop the person from doing it, but it's as if the person did it. And the idea is that it's, as it's explained, is because when we are considered, our latching on, our Avdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is such that we said, this is where we are. This is what we do. Something incidentally can get in the way. 6 days a week happen. 6 years of Avdus, they happen. There will be voices, the voice of nature, the voice of other malchus that get in the way and stop us from being able to do something. They get in the way, but they don't get in the way of the machshava. They don't get in the way of the thought. They don't get in the way of the plan. They don't get in the way of the fact that what we ultimately did was we said, we are here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're ready to do it. That's our allegiance. That's our most basic connection. And that's what we renew, and that's what we refresh when we learn the parshios of Matan Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us with the Chelus Olam, with the eternal freedom of the ultimate commitment and connection of being those who truly are ready to serve Hashem. Yirei Hashem, Hashem.